This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Okay, we are very fortunate today to have with us Professor Alex Lazarian, who has been visiting various institutions over the last few months. He is visiting from the University of Wisconsin. He started his research in the theoretical group of Professor Ginsberg, and we are just very fortunate to have him with us. So,
welcome, Alex. So Alex has studied a lot of different things. Could you give a summary of all the things that you've been looking at during your research?
Well, I've been studying different things, but a lot of my studies were related to the properties of magnetized plasma. Plasma is a special state of matter. It's not so common in the Earth conditions, but it's the natural state of matter in the universe in general. So if you have gas and you ionize it, you get plasma. And as you ionize the gas and get plasma, it starts susceptible to magnetic field action. So positive and negative charges start spiraling around magnetic fields, and this creates the picture of magnetized plasma. So most of the astrophysical processes that we are dealing with are related to magnetized plasma.
So one question is that to most of us, and even physicists, magnetic fields are a bit of an abstract concept in that they're invisible, we cannot really directly see them, but they are an essential part of your research. And one of the things that we are interested in is in studying the distribution of these magnetic fields in the galaxy. Why is it important to do that?
Well, yes, magnetic fields are mysterious, and this was a mystery from ancient times when magnetism was discovered by human beings. They were finding special pieces of rocks which were behaving very differently from any other rocks. In ancient China, these rocks were used for fortune telling. These mysterious properties of these pieces of rocks to be aligned with Earth magnetic fields were used by the fortune tellers to persuade humans that this is their destiny. And whatever they do, their destiny will be aligned along a particular line. And it's the fortune tellers who can tell you what is happening. So they were using this mystery of magnetism to actually fool people, to give them money to predict their destiny. Then the second use of this mysterious property was used by Vikings. These guys were not at all into science, but were into robbery and plundering. And they very much loved England. They loved to come to England to rob, plunder, get booty, and get back to Norway. And they were pretty impatient to reach this lovely land. And so they did not want to follow the coastline. They wanted to navigate through the open sea. And to do that, they were using this device, which we now call compass. They were very successful, as we know from the medieval chronicles. They were efficiently using this property of magnetic field. In terms of astrophysics, the magnetic fields are the second most important force in astrophysical media. The first is gravity, surely. We have everything, including our planet, made because of the self-gravity. But in all the cases, the collection of plasma is related to the action, counteraction, or effects related to magnetic fields. We know that the star formation has been affected by magnetic fields. We know that AGNs, active galactic nucleus, and most of the phenomena are affected by magnetic fields. So that makes it so interesting for me to study.
So in a way, we're also future telling by using physics and maths in that they tell us about the destiny and the way star formation, things like cosmic rays, actually work. One of the interesting things that Alexander is doing is creating a 3D map of magnetic fields inside of our galaxy. So I guess the first question is, where did these magnetic fields come from? What did they tell us? And how are you using your predictions to understand what is happening in our own galaxy?
In fact, I'm a theorist. And because I'm a theorist, I'm interested in the results that magnetic fields are doing with the physics that is induced by magnetic field interactions. However, there are those limitations of the current techniques of studying magnetic fields, and this induced me to work on techniques to develop magnetic field. What you are asking is our demonstration of the work of this technique. I hope, in fact, that this powerful technique that we developed can be used by other researchers with publicly available data to study magnetic fields. So indeed, today I showed this 3D map. But this is just a demonstration of the abilities of these techniques. What is the origin of magnetic field? Well, for decades it was the issue of controversy. Some people were saying that magnetic fields should be generated together with baryonic matter as a primordial magnetic field theory. Now, this theory is out of favor, and it is because more natural theory of magnetic field generation through the motions of the plasma, so-called dynamo theory, can better explain the observations.
The interesting thing, and I guess this is the main fundamental reason that separates astrophysics from the rest of physics, is that often in astrophysics we cannot do anything in the lab, in that we cannot simulate a star in the lab, and we cannot create a galaxy and really study it experimentally. So all of the things we know come from our understanding of how physics works. And there are really two sides to that. So one of them is the experimental side, getting your telescope pointed at the sky and looking at the real behavior. And then the other side is your side, in that you take our knowledge of physics and try to make predictions. And so the interesting thing here is, since we cannot just go out into the center of our own galaxy and measure magnetic fields, what physical things can these magnetic fields tell us?
Well, I would put it differently. Astrophysics has three components. First of all, surely observations. Astrophysics is observational science, is driven by facts which are collected by instruments. There is also theory. And I separate theory from numerical simulations. Simulations can use our understanding of the process, all the fundamental processes, to simulate what would be the result in a nonlinear situations that we are dealing in astrophysical situations. But three components are essential. And what I was discussing today is how to use this fundamental understanding of basic processes happening in turbulent plasma to develop new ways to trace magnetic fields. This is a way how theory can enhance the power of observations, because I was showing how to use the spectroscopic data, which was earlier not used for studies of magnetic fields, to trace magnetic field and to find magnetization. So this is a part of this big story. And at the same time, you mentioned to me this differences between physical experiment and the astrophysics. Okay, just imagine that we managed to get into the center of the galaxy and measure everything.
Yeah.
It would be great. It would be great. But it would not solve our problem of understanding. Having this measurement, we need to then to have a theory what is going on. The same is with the numerical simulations. If we manage to create a supercomputer which can reproduce all the features of the center of galaxy, it would not still mean that we understand it. Understanding requires a higher level theory which would explain to you what is happening. You know, for example, if we take gas, just normal gas, there are enormous number of molecules. Potentially, we can simulate the motion of every molecule, and by using a supercomputer, we can predict the properties of gas. But in fact, it's not theory. We know this ideal and non-ideal laws of gas dynamics, which do not require enormous number of calculations, but do the job. And they accurately can predict what is happening with gas when we heat it and we expand it. And this is the theory.
One of the things that I mentioned before that Alexander is doing, and it's a bit of a counterintuitive but very, very cool part of measuring magnetic fields, is that so he's made a 3D map of magnetic fields in our own galaxy. So Alexander, when you look at the sky, you're pointing at a specific point, and if you were looking at, say, the galactic plane, there would be many, many different clouds that you would be pointing through, right? So effectively, you're looking at the light coming from many, many, many different clouds along that line of sight. So how can we ever make a 3D model of magnetic fields in the galaxy?
Okay, there are two different ways of doing that. One is using the so-called galactic rotation curve. Our galaxy is rotating, and if we observe different parts of the spectral line, this emission is coming from different parts of the galaxy. So just taking, for example, 21 centimeter emission line, we can identify parts of the galaxy that are responsible for this emission. So this is one way to get the three-dimensional information.
So depending where you look on the galaxy, due to the rotation of the galaxy itself, those spectral lines will show up at different frequencies?
If you're talking about H1,
yeah,
wherever you see within the disk of the galaxy, you will see 21 centimeter emission. But this emission will be Doppler shifted due to the motion of the parcel of emitting gas. You will see it at different frequencies. And so measuring part of this emission at a particular range of frequency, we're measuring a particular parcel of gas at some distance from us along one line of sight. This gives one way of studying magnetic field. Using spectroscopic data, we can also use different lines. And these different lines come from different molecular species. And for instance, in molecular clouds, the different species are produced through chemical process at different depths within the molecular cloud. So also using this particular species which are produced only at high optical depth, well within the cloud, we can trace magnetic fields in cloud at a particular distance from the surface of a molecular cloud.
And how accurately can you determine the 3D component of where those magnetic fields are inside of our galaxy, or how can we know they're associated to different objects in the galaxy?
Well, for each one, we made an experiment. And this experiment or testing was based on the fact that with our three-dimensional map of the perpendicular to the line of sight component of magnetic field, we may predict polarization from different stars. Because as radiation from a star passes through the dust, which is aligned in a spectromagnetic field, it gets polarized. So using our three-dimensional maps, we made such a prediction. And then we compared with this prediction with the available data of polarization that was directly measured. So for some stars, we had no both polarization and distance. And for these stars, we made a test and it was successful.
So, Alex, one of the interesting things that magnetic fields are important for our B-modes from the cosmic microwave background now. What are they and how can magnetic fields help us understand how we can measure those B-modes?
In this case, in the case of B-modes, magnetic fields are not helping. They're preventing us from measuring B-modes. B-modes are the polarized fluctuations which are arising from the primordial gravitational waves. So they are carrying information about inflation, about what was happening in the first moments of our universe. But this radiation, polarized radiation, is coming to us and it's being mixed up with the radiation which is produced by our galaxy. And this radiation from our galaxy is also polarized. And the signal that is coming from our galaxy is either 100 times or maybe it's even 1,000 times stronger than the polarized signal from these B-modes. So it's very challenging to separate what is the polarization that is coming from our galaxy and what is coming from the early universe. The polarization from our galaxy is related to magnetic fields. So if we know the structure of magnetic field in our galaxy, then we have a hope to be able to separate. If we don't know the structure of magnetic field, we don't have this hope. Therefore, the studies of magnetic field structure are now interrelated to this important cosmological problem of the search of the B-mode. So if we manage to get good maps of magnetic fields, we have a chance.
So what sort of data do we need to hope to detect those B-modes?
Well, first of all, we need to have a new generation of instruments, more sensitive, and which are especially designed to measure polarization. Polarization is pretty tricky. And the experts who develop polarimeters will tell you that you need the experiment which is 100% designed to measure polarization. It cannot be just something in addition to other things. So we need these instruments, we need these investments, and I know that there is work in this direction. However, because the foregrounds are so essential, we need to understand the foregrounds much better. We need to study foregrounds at different frequencies. It's not only dust polarization, it's also polarization coming from synchrotron, which is important. So we need extensive program of studying polarization coming from the foreground. Then we need theory, understanding what's going on, because we will not be able to measure everything, because as you understand, when we are measuring the signal, it's already a mixture of foreground and CMB. So we need a theory to understand what these foregrounds are doing. Therefore, understanding of this turbulent magnetized plasma is absolutely essential for having good predictions. In addition, we need to have independent ways of predicting this polarization. And the work that I was discussing today is about this. So we are not using the polarization from this foreground to have prediction, because as I said, the measurement is already one plus another, foreground plus background. We predict using the data, which is not polarized, but due to the theory, this data can be used to predict polarization. And we need also numerical simulations that on the basis of this understanding can provide us better maps, for example, of the foreground polarization. So all the three components, observation, theory, and numerical simulation should be present. And using all the three components, I hope we will be able to measure, and hopefully soon.
Have you got any guess on when BMOS could be finally detected?
Well, it's very difficult to bet, and it's really... In fact, I feel that science is developing too slow. Yeah, it's a bit frustrating. I talk with colleagues who were planning instruments, which are now flying, but it was many, many years ago. And surely we had more resources, we could move it quicker. But this is the world that we live in. We have to accept what we have. At the same time, public understanding how important is the fundamental research can help to bring the date when we can say, oh, we definitely know that this was inflation, that at this moment or back in the past, the universe was born. These were their properties. This would be really nice because we want to understand the mystery of our life. And this birth of the universe is part of this mystery.
That's a great note to finish on. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.